Parshas Tetzaveh, Tovshin Ayin Hey. The Medrash Rabbah begins this week's Parsha with the words, Hahu Dechsiv. The Parsha begins with Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you will instruct Bnei Yisrael about the lighting of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan in the Beis Hamikdash. And the Medrash says, this is what the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah chapter 11, Zayis Ra'anon, a fresh juicy olive, Yefei pri toyar, a beautiful fruit, Koro Hashem Shmeich. Hashem has called you, the Jewish people, that's the name Hashem has given you. Hashem has named us, the Jewish people, we are Zayis Ranan. So the Medrash asks, V'chi lo nikru Yisrael elo kezayis hazeh bilvad? Is that the only name that Hashem has given the Jewish people? Is that the only fruit He's compared us to? The Jews have been named and compared to many beautiful trees. Begefen uteino, there's a pasuk Gefen mi Mitzrayim tasia, that the Torah compares us to a grapevine. Hashem brought forth from Egypt a grapevine, and the Midrash says, why are we compared to a grapevine? That just like a grapevine, in order to advance, it wraps itself around a fence. So too weave it, and the fence is made out of wood that's not live wood, it's not growing, it's not attached to anything. So too we, the Jewish people, in order for us to advance, we wrap ourselves around those who have passed away already. We're dependent on the zechus of those who have passed away. We start our Shmon Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. That when we want to approach Hashem, we approach Hashem not just as individuals, as ourselves, but we're coming with a heritage. We're coming that we are the children, we are Ma'aminim b'nei Ma'aminim. We are the descendants of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, the Shevaroyim, all the great tzaddikim. And there's another pasuk that compares us to Te'eno, and like a Tomor, Zois Koimosech, Domso Lesomor, and Egos, all the different Pardes Rimoinim. So the Medrash says, Ubo Yirmiyah Loimar Zayis Rana Yifei Pri Toyar, and Yirmiyah comes along and he gives us a new name, a new title. He's comparing us to the olive. Eloma HaZayis HaZeh, however, there's something very extraordinary about the olive. Ma HaZayis HaZeh, Shehu Be'ilonoi, Achu Be'ilonoi, while it's on the tree, Megargrin Oisoi, they mark it. They mark because the olives don't all ripen at the same time. They ripen at different times. So each olive is treated as an individual. As soon as an olive starts ripening, they mark those that are ripe on this and this date, and the other ones that ripen a little later to know how to pick them. V'yachar kach moiriden oisoy min azayis, and then we take it off the tree, v'nechbat, and it gets beaten. U'mishechoyften oisoy, and once it gets its first beating, Malin oisei legas, they bring it to the olive press, v'noisin oisei b'matchein, and they put it through a crushing process. V'achar kach toichanin oisei, v'achar kach makifin oisei b'chavolim, and then they surround it with ropes, u'meivin avonim, and they bring stones, v'achar kach noisin es shumnon, and it's only after a whole several different processes of crushing and recrushing that it gives forth, it's the full measure of oil that it's supposed to. Kach Yisrael, so too the Jewish people, boyen oivdei kechovim v'choivten oisam mimokom lemokoim. Different nations of the world come and they kick us around from place to place. All different places that we've gone to, pushed around and kicked around. V'choivsen oisam b'koilorim, and just like the olives are tied up with ropes, the Jews get tied up with ropes at times and chains. Umakifen oisam tartutin, and they surround us with all kinds of guards and everything. V'achar kach oisin tshuva. And the result of all of that is that those that are fortunate, unfortunately there are those that fall away in the process, but those that are privileged are zoche through all of this crushing and beating and everything to come to tshuva. V'hakadosh baruch hu oine lohem. And Hashem responds to our tshuva, to our tefillah. Minayin, how do we know this? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda, that when the Jews were persecuted and enslaved in Egypt, what did they do? They groaned and moaned to Hashem. They reached out to Hashem. V'chein batzar l'cho, when the Jews will feel crushed and tight, we're in a tight spot, that's when many of them find Hashem. Ki kel rachom Hashem alekecha. So hoy zayis ranon yefei pri toyar. It's based on this that Yirmiyahu Hanavi said that we're compared to this beautiful olive that goes through this crushing process, but in the end comes through with the product. Now the Medrash continues. Dovrach, another interpretation. Maro Yirmiyahu Limshel Asen Kazayas. Why did Yirmiyahu Hanavi compare our forefathers to the olive? Because the olive is unique. That kol hamashkin misarvin zebozeh. All liquids, when they're put together with other liquids, they mix. Chutz v'hashemen einoy misarev. Oil is the only liquid that poured into anything else, water, orange juice, anything you want. It doesn't mix, elo oime, but rather it maintains its individuality. It does not assimilate. It remains apart from the others. Kach Yisrael eino misarvin imhoiv dekochovim. So too the Jews have the ability, even though it says in Tehillim, vayisorvu bagoyim vayilmudu mimaseyim, that unfortunately there are people who, because of the golus, because of the exile, are living among the goyim, vayilmudu mimaseyim, and picking up their culture, their values. However, the Torah, in comparing us to oil, tells us that we have the ability to remain apart. If a Jew wants to be loyal to Hashem, then even being poured into the other liquid can maintain his individuality, can maintain his values, and stay apart. Shenema, as the Torah says, v'loy tischatein bom, do not intermarry, do not mix. And the rabbis have given us all kinds of laws in terms of socializing, even with non-Jews, how critical, how important it is for a Jew to keep himself apart. Dovrach, another interpretation, kol hamashkin odom arev bohem, ve'enu yodea eze tachtoin ve'ez elyoin. All other liquids, you mix them together, and either they'll mix totally and they'll lose their identity, their individuality, or if not, you don't know which one's going to end up on top, which one's going to end up on bottom. Aval Hashemen, afilu atama arvli b'chol hamashkin sheboilam. But oil is unique, that even if you mix it with any liquid in the world, hunosun lamala mehem, the oil always rises to the top. Kach avoseinu, so to our forefathers, b'shor shehayu oisin retzoino shel mokoim, when they were loyal to Hashem, nitzovim lemala menadei kachovim, we always remained above all the other nations. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, unesoncho Hashem olekecho elyoin, Hashem has placed you above the Jews. The Jews, if they want, have the ability to rise to the top in any situation, no matter where they're being mixed. Hoy zayis ranon yefei pri toyar. This is why we're compared to this fresh, juicy olive, which is called preto, this fruit of beauty. That's unique. That's different from everything else, from everybody else. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in Orach Chaim Chelek Beis, Hilchos Betzias HaPas, Halacha Hei, Rav Nosson Zal speaks, he touches on this week's parsha, and he teaches us something extremely important in exactly how Hashem presents this mitzvah. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ato, and you, Tetzaves B'nai Yisrael, instruct the Jewish people. We know, by the way, that this week's Parsha is unique, in that this week's Parsha is all about Moshe Rabbeinu. Who put the Mishkan together? Moshe Rabbeinu, uncontested. He had people working for him. He had architects. He had Bezalel. He had Eliyahu. But the Torah says clearly that Hashem instructed the Jews, everybody contributes, everybody gives, but Vayaviu HaMishkon El Moshe. All the ingredients for the Mishkan had to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the only one who's qualified to put it together. And Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran, from here we learn, we know that our prayers today we don't have a Mishkan, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're told that the shuls, the Botei Knesios and Botei Midrashos, are a stand-in for the Mishkan. Just like at that time, If a Jew wanted to contribute, he was allowed to contribute. If a Jew thought he was building the Mishkan by himself, he was out of bounds completely. The ingredients had to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, he built it. So too we today, when a Jew is mispalel, when a Jew says his tefillah, the majority of the Jewish people who daven, and they know I'm davening to Hashem, period. This is between me and Hashem, period. That's one of the reasons why their tefillahs are not that effective. It's bringing the ingredients and leaving Moshe Rabbeinu out of the equation. There's a hierarchy, there's a leadership in Klal Yisrael, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'm davening to Hashem, but I'm presenting my tefillah to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the tzaddik. They are the ones who will take my tefillah and to deliver it, to make sure it gets to where it's supposed to get to, in order for it to be able to have the proper effects. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in the second chapter of Likutei Moran, and in fact, in Breslov, there's a custom that before we daven, we spell it out. We say, Hareini mekasher esatzmi. I'm making it perfectly clear that it's not me and Hashem, period, and I feel confident, I feel good enough, and the Gemara tells us thousands of things about us that could disqualify our tefillahs. Before we even start, before we open our mouths, there's all kinds of requirements. And it's only through the help and guidance of the tzaddikim, they have the ability to take even our tefillahs, with all of our shortcomings, with all of our chesronos, and make it part of the package, and see to it that it gets to where it's supposed to get to. It scores points. We know there's a concept, a person gets up to bat, he hits a single, a double, you look at the scoreboard, it's zero. What do you mean? The guy got it, he hit the ball. He did hit the ball. Did not score any points. In order to get points on that chart, it requires a certain distance, going a certain distance. The tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, are the ones that are qualified, that know everything that a person needs to know about tefillah, about Torah, about Hashem. They know when the door is open and when the door is not open. The Gemara makes a statement that from the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the gates of tefillah are closed. So we're starting out with that kind of welcome mat being put out by Hashem. Again, unfortunately, it's not Hashem's fault, it's our fault, because of the things that we did to cause the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says, any person during whose lifetime the Beis Hamikdash is not being built, the implication is if it was standing right now, Hashem would take it down. Chas v'shalom. Do we know how to get that door open? And to make sure that our tefillah gets to where it's supposed to get to? This is why we see in the Shmon Esrei, right up front, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We're mentioning the names of these tzaddikim because these are keys. If we recognize that we're dependent on them. We mentioned before, Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasiya. We're compared to the grapevine. Its whole growth is dependent on that fence, the deadwood, supposedly, the tzaddikim who have passed away. This is why we find, for example, Rosh Hashanah, which is called Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment, which begins the 10 days of tshuva. The Shulchan Aruch says that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, before going into Rosh Hashanah, it's a custom to visit Kivrei Tzadikim or Kivrei Avos to remind us how dependent we are on them, that we're not going into court by ourselves. We're bringing lawyers, attorneys. Who are the lawyers and attorneys? The tzaddikim who have passed away, those tzaddikim who have passed away, we're pleading with them that they should represent us. They should beseech Hashem on our behalf. And by attaching our tefillah to them, we're confident that we have the best shot possibly of the tefillah being effective. Now, Rav Nosson Zal speaks about a very important point here, based on chapter 14 in Likutei Moran, and based on the law in Likutei Halachos we mentioned earlier, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'yikhu eilecha shemen zayis zoch. If you know your Hebrew, it should have said, Ve'yikhu shemen zayis zoch, kosis lamor, lahalos ner tamid. The Jews should take pure olive oil to raise up the menorah, to lighten the menorah. What's eilecha? They should take this oil to you, eilecha, to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? And Rav Nosson Zal explains that we know every single Jew is rooted in the Torah. We are called Bnei Yisrael, were Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The word Yisrael includes Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. The Yud stands for Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Shin stands for Sarah. The Resh stands for Rachel. The Aleph stands for Avraham. And the Lamed is Leah. When we call Bnei Yisrael, we know who are our founders. The founders of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. And again, we're depending on all of them. So we mentioned that every single Jew is rooted in the Torah. It's brought that the word Yisrael makes up the letters Yesh, Shishin, Ribui, Oisi, Oisla Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 basic neshama, souls of the Jewish people. Every single Jew is wired to a letter in the Torah. But the question is, who has the ability to turn on those wires, to activate it, to flick the switch for a Jew to feel his connection to the Torah? That, Rabbi Nazal says in chapter 14, that tzaddikim, the great tzaddikim, when they study Torah, they do it in such a way that they turn on the letters of the Torah, they activate the letters of the Torah, and they turn on those wires that reach every single neshama that's wired to those letters in the Torah, for the neshama is to get inspired to want to study Torah, to want to do mitzvahs. And this is why Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shemen Zayis Zoch, this pure oil, is the purity, a certain Nekuda Toiva. Every single Jew, even Poishe Yisrael, even the worst sinners, have a Nekuda of Shemen Zayizach inside them, a certain purity, a certain soul, a holiness inside them, that the person has to bring that Eilecha, to Moshe Rabbeinu. The person has to recognize the leadership, the tzaddik in Klal Yisrael, that with his help, I have the ability to connect to the Torah. So Hashem says, Ve'yikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayis. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's job? Ve'ato titzave. The word titzave means to command. The word titzave also means to unite. Lechaber. Tziv sachoda. The Gemara uses the expression many times, means one unit. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who is titzave b'nei Yisrael. He's the one who unites. He brings together all the letters of the Torah. He studies all the whole Torah. And thereby brings together the letters and brings together all the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. He unites them all. The Gemara says an individual's tefillah can be rejected. A tefillah of a tzibur, of a group, much more difficult to get that disqualified or rejected. So Moshe Rabbeinu brings that all together in order to make it effective. Now the pasuk continues, Kosis Lamoir, that these olives are crushed, kosis means crushed, in order to bring out that oil that's going to give light. Rav Nosson Zal explains, based on chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moran, that in each one of us there's two things going on at the same time. There's the body that's pulling in its direction, and there's the neshama that's pulling in the opposite direction. There's a tug of war going on, and it's described as a seesaw. When one goes up, the other one goes down. The more a person gives in to the desires of the guf, the body, the materialistic desires, the physical pleasures, the more they weaken the neshama, they weaken the soul. The more a person strengthens the soul, the more Torah, the more tefillah, the more a person lowers the authority, the control of the body. We know each person, a person, the Gemara says, Ein ben chorin ela mi she'osek batorah. In the non-religious world, their perception of Shabbos is that it's like the worst curse that a human being can have. Can't do this, can't do that, all kinds of restrictions. Mamash tied up in knots. They picture us on Shabbos as being totally chained. Go into a decent Jew's home on Shabbos, there's nothing more beautiful. Number one, the kids are dressed better than the entire week. The one day that we're not making money, we're not out there making money, making bucks and everything, is the day that they're dressed in their finest, eating their best, the best foods. the aura in the house, no phones ringing, no cell phones, no B phones, no iPhones, no Q. Total peace. I can sing at the table. People can hear each other talk. They can communicate. It's bliss. Don't have to use the car. You're allowed to use your feet on Shabbos. People know that the majority of people today that are suffering from physical problems because they don't get to walk, because they don't get into the car. Everywhere is in the car. Shabbos is the one day you're allowed to walk. You're allowed to walk to shul. You're allowed to walk to your friend's house. You can breathe. You can think. All the distractions, all the chains are removed. All the physical chains. The person becomes ruchni. The person elevates the gashmi to ruchni. So here the Torah tells us, kosis lamoir, that in order for a person to really experience the light, they've got to crush. They've got to crush the materialism, the chains of gashmius, the stranglehold that the body wants to put away. The body wants to be in control and dictate what the neshama is going to, what the person is going to do. That has to be crushed. And each person goes through their process. The person who wants to come close to Hashem usually goes through different kinds of beatings. They take different beatings along the way, all kinds of varieties. That's this kosis lamor. It's a process that a person is being put through, like the olive gets beaten in order to be able to bring out its produce, its product, the pure oil. So too a Jew has to be prepared to go through certain beatings. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when you have a piece of wood, you try to light it, it doesn't catch. In order to get it to accept light, fire, you got to beat it. You beat the wood, and then the wood has crevices and other things that it can take on the fire. So too, the Zohar HaKadosh says, a body that's not prepared to accept the light of the neshama goes through certain beatings, goes through certain experiences in order to prepare it, in order to allow it to take on that light, the light of Torah. When each and every one of us goes through our tests in trying to come close to Hashem, in trying to come close to Tzaddikim, we need to know that this is what it's really about. It's bringing us close, it's bringing out the beauty, the final product of this olive. The key to this is the menorah, which represents the Torah. The seven candles of the menorah represent the combination of Torah and Tefillah. We know that when you ask most people, what is the Torah made up of? They'll tell you five books. Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But we find there's a pasuk, Chotzva Amudeho Shiva, that the Torah really is made up of seven pillars. The Chumash Bamidbar is split into three chumashim. We have that paragraph in the middle, Vayihi ben Soa, which has the upside down nuns in front of it, which delineate it as being a separate branch completely. So that Bereshis is one, Shemos is one, Vayikra is one, Bamidbar is three, that takes us to six, and Dvorim is number seven. These are the seven pillars of Torah. Corresponding to that, we have the seven pillars of Tefillah. The Pasuk says, Sheva Bayoyim Hilalticha. David HaMelech says, I praise Hashem seven times a day. The Kriya Shema, which is our most important Tefillah, is surrounded by blessings. In the morning, it's two and one. In the evening, it's two and two. These seven brachas, which are represented by the menorah. And it's this combination. Just like when Hashem offered us the Torah on Har Sinai, Hashem first attempted to speak to every one of us directly. The first two commandments were given to all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says that our souls left us. We exploded and saw that we couldn't receive directly from Hashem. And that's when the Jews approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said, you speak to us. If Hashem is speaking to us directly, we're going to die from it. So too, from that point on, it was made clear to Klal Yisrael that in order for our Torah and Tefillah to really be affected, it's dependent on the V'yikhu Eilecha, each and every Jew bringing his Shemen Zayisach to Moshe Rabbeinu, to bring it to the Tzaddik, to attach it to the Tzaddik, and go through the Kosis Lamoir, go through the beatings that a person has to take in the process of coming close to Hashem or coming close to the Tzaddik. And this will result in Lahalois Ner Tomid. This will bring forth that constant, consistent light to the menorah. We should be zeicher. We're headed now towards Purim and Pesach, times of Geula. And we know that one of the nicknames of the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem, is called Gam. Gam means also. There's a pasuk, Ve'af Gam Zois, Behiyoisam Be'eretz Oyveihem, that even when the Jews will find themselves in the lands of our enemies, Loi Ma'astim V'loi Galtim, Hashem says, I'll never reject them, I'll always be with them. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that Gam, this also means that we're never alone. There's this also, there's this other one that's with us, which is the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem. It's brought that the word Gam represents the Geula in each case. When we went out of Mitzrayim, it was called Geulas Moshe. It was the Geula that was led by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chanukah that we celebrated, Geulas Matisyahu. Purim, Geulas Mordechai. And the final Geula that we're waiting for is going to be the Geula of Moshiach, Moshiach ben David. We should be zeichet to remember the ways that we connect with Hashem individually, which is Torah and Tefillah, but not to leave out that critical ingredient of the connection to the tzaddikim, how dependent we are on their assistance in Torah, in them being the ones to turn on the full light of Torah, for it to be able to turn on that connection between the letters and the souls. Benison Nigalu, we were taken out of Mitzrayim and Nisan, Ubenison Asidin Ligoil, that Nisan is the opportune month of the year for Geula. Each month you start preparing 30 days before the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is one of the few yahrzeits that's mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says Haman was excited when he saw that the lottery came out to the month of Adar for him to try to tackle, to eliminate Klal Yisrael this month, because it's the month that we lost Moshe Rabbeinu, he thought. But the Gemara says he didn't know. He didn't know that when a tzaddik leaves the world, he's not leaving. He gets bigger. He gets double his power. And he's stronger. The Gemara says, Gedoilim tzaddikim b'misosam yoisim b'chayim. Tzaddikim are more effective after their passing than during their lifetime. We should be zeicher that Moshe Rabbeinu and all the tzaddikim should do what they can do to put an end to this golus that Klal Yisrael is feeling, that each individual is feeling. And be zeicher to the Geula Shleimah, b'mhirah b'yameinu, amen.